This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, we're on with an open goal hero. It's Andy Cusson.
The national hero, Simon, isn't he? What a mancer.
He doesn't even know he's an open goal hero, so he doesn't watch this shite.
Do you not watch it?
I have watched it. It's one of my mates back home, Neil Muir. He always forwards the links, so I do get to watch it, and I've seen plenty of clips.
Do you want to stick your curly top as our Spigman before we start?
Well, Geoff, we're going to start with that.
As a quaver's on the
quaver. Right, we'll start with that. You know what? I was going to mention it. So, yeah. Come on, explain yourselves.
No, I worked obviously and played under Stevie Craigan, who had a wonderful curly toe.
Right, okay.
And when I watched you, when I first seen you, big man, no, not at all. And when I seen you, I was like, he's giving me flashbacks of Craigan. And I loved it. You know what I mean? I thought, that's a quaver's under eight boots. But big man, not at all now. A national hero. He ain't got quaver's under eight boots, not at all. I don't want to look at your match.
No, but do you know what it is? It's because you like the curl around the channel, don't you?
Yeah.
So we're writing an analysis. But you can strike the ball, can't you?
Aye, of course. No, absolutely. You know, I remember it was my mate, Neil, who'd send it to me. He's like, you know, they keep referring to you as quaver toes. So you need to ask, what is this all about? And yet, also, it kept getting mentioned. You know, I think, right, if there was ever a chance, if I did get on here, you know, to kind of ask you what's going on. But
I was petrified. Oh, the journey up went, I was petrified.
Oh, he's petrified. He thought you were going to fling him a bit.
No, I thought, is it the way I run? Or is it just the way I pass the ball? Because my running style's horrific. But, like, if it's the way I pass the ball, then it's...
No, not at all. The quavers are truly well gone now, big man, not at all.
You know, he takes credit for getting you in the squad as well, yeah?
Aye.
Well, I believe
you started like a campaign, didn't
you? At first. Yeah. And I think that Stevie Clark did take notice of that, Simon, didn't he? And then as much as it's grew, the nation almost has got on board with you. And then you've seen, the nation, Simon, the world, when Scotland qualified, all down to this man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That song will be the song, the boogie song, all because you and your mates. Unbelievable video.
How did that video...
I appreciate that.
Can you tell us about the video?
Aye, yeah.
You stand to, aren't it?
Well, I'll start from the very start because I feel like it needs to be explained.
Yes, good.
I was on my eldest son's head wedding in Aberdeen, and it was my two cousins, Victor and Liam, and they just started singing this song, this boogie song, you see? Obviously, I'd heard it before, but they just kind of kept singing it throughout the night, and we ended up in a karaoke bar later in the night, and we're singing it, this, that, and the next thing. Just kind of followed on from there. So got to my stag do, and you know, on the Friday on the plane in a blue child's baby suit kind of thing, you know. So as you do stag do, you get dressed up, and then I was down in London, and then I was on the Saturday. I got given this woman's outfit. You see, thinking fair enough, I've got to be in this all day, short skirt, this, that, the next thing, and we were up early doors, probably about 10:30. We're sitting drinking with small little stubby bottles of wine. We're playing fives. You must have played fives. Played
five
fives before. No, fives. You ever played fives?
No.
Drinking game of fives?
No, I'm not
never
drinking.
Played fives. No?
What is it?
It's like, obviously, there's the three of us here. So it'd be like a multiple of like 0 to 15. So we'd all put our hands in, right? She'd be like 1, 2, 3. And I would say if I called 15 and you were like, and you put your hand like that, 5, and you went 5. And then I would be out.
Right.
So then you two would play, so like out of 10 kind of thing. See, so we're playing that. My, you know, dad, uncles, everybody's there. So, you know, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock, blutered. And then jump in the taxis and we're going to Shoreditch.
You what see, a place your
so
dad's.
Oh, I, it was nice. Yeah, very nice. And that was then my best man was like, listen, well, we're going to make a video today. I says, what do you mean? He says, we're going to make a music video. Can you see what the hell's going on here? So we went grabbed a quick bite to eat, got a carry, went to like one of the shops, got like a couple of cases of beer, went onto this place, you see, and this huge studio, much and such like in here, and there was a full makeup bit in the back, so obviously I got fully dolled up, and my dad was dolled up, my uncles were dolled up, and then yeah, she was like, right, we're going to sing this boogie song. We're going to do the whole thing. He says, do you know the words? I said, I'll be honest, I don't. I only really know is the chorus. So we did full music video. I mean, as the sort of hours went by, like it just got more and more ridiculous because people's clothes were just coming off.
So was that a few shoots you'd done? A few takes?
Honest truth, it probably took 5 hours. Honestly, the whole thing, it took ages.
That's why it's been so big. Oh, and the amount of work he's put in it.
It was a joke. But I mean, we're absolutely blutered. And I mean, when I watch it back now, you know, and I think it's more the scene on the sofa. You know, I'm lying on the sofa and like my mate's on top of me and like there's all sorts going on, you know.
When did it get released? The actual video? When did you first put it on?
It wasn't long after. I think it was once I got married in the summer. It wasn't long after that. My mate had put it on Facebook, just kind of like for people to see, because it was played at my wedding.
Wedding, right?
And oh God Almighty, it didn't go down well.
Did not go down well. No.
It was well received by some, but not others. But and then yeah, once it was on Facebook.
Would you big stuff because there's a biggest show in town happening with the Hydro? Would you and your mates come on in?
Yeah. My mate Nick, who was my best man, one of my best men. He says he's still got my outfit. I'm not sure if I believe him or not, but he says he still has it in the loft.
How much did we need to pay you to get you on the Hydro?
What a video that would be on the Hydro.
By the way, you looked good in that.
You did you?
If I'm coming down, I'm bringing everybody with me.
Bring your mates, 100% on the Hydro. We'll dance here.
Did you actually enjoy doing the video?
I know you
did. I was honestly, what a laugh.
Did you ever want to get back into that costume again?
No, I'll be generous. I've not touched any women's clothes since.
No,
then.
Again.
No, not. No. The worst thing was.
Oh, yes, sir. I can boogie if I need a setting song. I can boogie, boogie, woogie all night long.
Yes, I know it. Right, mate, you're a national hero these days. Has life changed since that happened?
It's got more tiring, if I'm honest with you. Like, I've had 13 years of having international breaks off, and now I've been obviously busy with Scotland, so it's been a full on 6 months. But I've absolutely loved every minute of it.
What about in the streets and that? Do people come up to you a lot more?
To be fair, I'm not allowed out of my house because of blooming COVID. We've got our own rules, obviously, up at Aberdeen and whatnot. So you're kind of strapped to your own surroundings. So, but no, it's like, obviously, I get. Well, Baccarat got in touch with me.
Yeah, so they did.
They got in touch with me, literally.
With the flirting?
It was after the Serbia game. It was like the next day. And no, she wasn't flirting, no.
No.
So they got in touch. So we had a chat and whatnot. And she just said, oh, thanks for like, almost like boosting the song up, obviously with yourselves, you know, and so it was kind of nice to hear from them, a bit surreal, you know what I mean, but no, it was good. So,
and what age were you when you got called up?
33.
Did you think that it might have been too late for you to get the call up?
Absolutely.
Did you?
If I'm honest with you, I mean, last time I was involved in a Scotland camp would have been with 21, so we're talking a good 13 years ago, you know, and There was some talk of it over recent seasons, and the manager kept saying to me, you know, we've spoken to the Scotland manager, you know, trying to get you in the squad. And I suppose I'd always kind of hoped, you know, I've been lucky enough to play consistent football for the past 7 or 8 years, you know, under obviously Derek McInnes and Tony Docherty, and had some good times. And you always kind of thought, it was one of those ones that you thought, maybe one day something might happen, you know. And I know obviously COVID's been obviously horrific for everyone for multiple reasons, but it managed to get me in the squad because of obviously COVID hit the squad. And during that break, our strength and conditioning coach had given us some running to do Tuesday and Thursday. So I'd gone down, I ran down to a local park not far from me, and I was doing my running, blah, blah, blah. Got back home, and I was sitting on the edge of the bed, waiting to grab a shower. Phone goes, Adam Stokes, physio, right? And I'm like, I didn't answer the first time. Phone me again. I'm thinking, what's going on here? Says, have I broken some sort of rule? Like, he's maybe, yeah, have I done something?
I'm, so is it Aberdeen physio? Sorry?
Yeah, Aberdeen, yeah, physio, yeah, got in touch with me, right? So I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I done? So I'm wrapping my brain thinking, where have I been? Have I done something I shouldn't have? Because he normally phones if that's the case. And he was like, Andy, I've been called into the Scotland squad because one of the physios, I think, was in amongst the bubble, so they've been sent home. He says,
I thought you were going to say to play left back.
And he was like, listen, I think, you know, there's a 99.9% chance you're going to be in the squad. And I says, what? He says, no, I think you're going to be called up.
Did your stomach go away?
And I was just like, I think I was more, surprised probably it was coming from him.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking,
why is he telling me?
Why is he telling me that I'm going to be called up for Scotland? Aye. You know, so I'm thinking, I was about a silence for about 10 seconds. And I was like, Stokes, are you generally been? He says, listen, go and get a COVID test up at the airport, and like, you should hopefully hear from, I think it was Frank Riley at the SFA soon. So obviously hung up, phoned the missus straight away. You see, and I'm like, you know, borderline tears at this point. And I'm just like, Madeline, you won't believe this. And she's driving away to get her hair cut. She's like, what the hell's going on? She stops the car. What the hell's going on? Just been called up for the national team. She's like, what? She says, I've just been called up for Scotland. Stokes has just told me. So she's blooming tears and all sorts.
What's inside your the road.
Oh, like, just really emotional. So I was like, listen, I need to go. I need to go get a COVID test. Quick turnaround. And then that was on the Thursday. I needed to meet up on the Friday. So, and obviously went, phoned my mum and dad, whatnot. You know, mum and dad, absolutely over the moon. Phoned my brothers and sisters. This, you know, they're just so happy. So, but it was all so quick. And obviously got my COVID test. Then,
You still
me.
Went for the shower, huh?
What's that? Oh, still.
You never done any in the shower. You shouldn't have done after
no,
that.
No, absolutely not. No, I didn't. I wasn't getting too excited with that. No.
By the way, what an inspiration.
That's a great story.
An inspiration to so many players.
Do you know what, though? You hear so many of these boys that call play at Scotland.
Oh, do I play in there?
That, when you see that, how much it means to people like yourself, that's what it's all about.
It's one of those, like, I mean, for any player out there, it's one of those ones you can never let it die. You know, that hope of trying to get in the Scotland.
See, Andy, see what I really want. See, after you came back for Scotland, see me walked in that Aberdeen dressing room. Were you arrogant?
No, not at all. No, I'm not.
You're disappointed. Hello.
No.
How did they treat you when you went in the changing room?
No, I think
hero.
They were just really happy for me. Just I think, especially probably more the staff that's been with me since I've been obviously coming up through the youth and whatnot that are still there. Just obviously seeing how much hard work I've put in over the years, and you know, getting rewarded for it at national level. So all the boys were delighted, and obviously yes, the boogie song, this, that, and the next thing got kind of get brought it up.
What, in the changing room, and did they start playing the boogie song? Just
the boogie song. It doesn't get played a lot, but it
who was the boys playing it? Who was the main culprits for that?
It could have been Joe Lewis, Johnny Hayes, a lot of these boys, like they just it just comes on randomly. You're in the gym, and I swear, I think it was potentially Dylan McGee put it on recently. You're in the gym, you know, the gym's full and whatnot, and then you just hear, you know, the song sort of slowly builds up kind of thing. You think, oh Christ, here we go. But
Have you ever had a dance when it came on, be honest?
Not in the gym, no. No, it's only been saved for the video and that night in Serbia, to be fair.
No. What about Dale McInnes? How did he react to your...
No, he was absolutely delighted. No, he was really happy. You know, he again just said, you know, how he's seen how hard I've worked since the time that they've been there and whatnot, and that, you know, I thoroughly deserve to get in the squad. And obviously that, you know, a couple of seasons before I've been close to it, but you know, not getting the call up. And I think there was maybe a chance of maybe going away to when Alec McLeish was manager, that the game in sort of Peru won over, and obviously Mexico as well. There was a chance to go over there, but that didn't happen. So no, just delighted.
See, when
to
you
be involved.
When you went in and met the first time meeting the Scotland boys, was that a bit surreal?
Absolutely.
You were nervous just coming here to interview the players. So
petrified.
I don't
know. Have you got to play with them?
Some of them I've played with, obviously, like say Jacko, Kenny, Big Scotty. You know, boys, obviously, I've played with at Aberdeen. And guys who I've kind of played against. So you kind of have that connection instantly, you know. But I suppose when you've got you sit and watch Match of the Day on a Saturday night, and you've got Andy Robertson, you know, you've got Ollie McBurney, all these guys playing on Match of the Day, and you think, and also Scott McTominay, and you're like, wow. You know, I'm sitting having breakfast next to Scott McTominay or John McGinn.
Still felt like that at 33 years old, did you?
Honestly, I instantly phoned my brother's a massive Man United fan, and I said, I was having dinner with Scott McTominay tonight. So we're just chatting away. And he's just like, the most surreal thing ever. Oh, just unbelievable.
Would you ask him questions about Man United and stuff like that?
No, I didn't actually ask him any football stuff kind of thing, you know. But it is surreal to be involved with guys like this, you know. But, you know.
Did you get that same feeling when we were involved in Scotland squads when we were younger?
Do you get a bit nervous when you see that?
Absolutely.
Like, by the way, this has been kept so quiet. You guys played with each other?
You've never got a few squads.
How was the team? Good.
Was he?
Yeah.
What was it like about the play? Because you're very chirpy and sometimes I need to put down a
wee bit. He was chirpy back in the day as well.
Again, annoying people.
Fucking never got us anywhere if I done it. No, they were good days, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a good team.
Andy, I don't want to put you in the spot, and no way at all should I be doing this, but what type of player would you say?
We're here to talk about him, no?
I know, but I just want to find out. Who would you say he was like in the modern day game?
The modern day game. Well, when we used to play against each other, I would say when he was at Celtic, he reminded me a bit of a Canty.
Canty, yeah, yeah.
I hate that
comparison.
You hate
just
that?
Just a grafter.
I'll tell you one, he's absolutely stunning, the big man.
Oh, he's handsome, isn't he? I know.
You're beautiful, hey. Mate.
Got a lovely nose.
Nah, the old hairline's kind of defeating me at the moment, but
might have
to sort that out once the retirement comes
the Euros.
Along.
He should be, shouldn't he, with the top off?
Yeah,
please. See, the kind of title player you are, obviously you like to blurt a few people. Was there boys that you'd played against that were in the Scotland squad that you'd maybe had a bit of previous with?
Well,
played?
Here's one for you, right?
Good luck. Great question.
Big Decky texts me the other day, and he was like, you know, Declan Gallagher, yeah. Sorry. He says, do you realise I was the guy who broke your leg?
No.
All those years ago. And I said, what? He says, wasn't the US? I always thought it was the guy, Kyle Benedictus.
Yeah, Big Ben.
I was playing centre half with him that day, I'm sure he was. He says, no, it was me, I broke your leg.
You're
I was like, you're having a laugh. He says, no, it was you broke my leg. So I was like, gee whiz. So he was like, listen, obviously there was a few boys who said, listen, you may need to text Andy, like obviously once it happened. He's never blooming text me.
Yeah.
Yeah, big man, I expected more of him. You know
it's
what I mean?
Bad, but, that, but surreal,
so
that
he's taking these, goodness
he's taking this long
when,
to tell you.
When did I break my leg? Gee whiz, 24? So he's taking his time to kind of come out of the box and tell me. So that was a bit of a shock, but.
What about the big man in the shower?
Superb, isn't
it? Oh,
that is international.
That is international quality.
That's international level, big man, isn't
it? Well, I heard about it before I saw it, to be fair. As you do, I feel in football, you kind of hear about these things.
Of course. Are you international level in the shower? I'm confidence.
Yeah.
Lower confidence, actually. Sorry, big man. Would you say
you're junior?
I'm happy enough for myself.
Premier League, maybe? Sorry, we'll get away from this. Can you remember the moment you found out you were starting against Slovakia?
It was the Sunday morning. We do like a walkthrough.
Right.
And because it was only a couple of days after the Thursday night game, and obviously went to extra time, there was very little training. So it was just going to be a walkthrough of positions in the pitch and then like some set plays and stuff like that. And he took everybody in after the warm-up and he says, I'd known that Liam Cooper had an injury, so he'd been sent home. And I think Big Decky had said to me, he says, listen, you know, there's a good chance that you might play because Big Scotty wasn't there, his hamstring and whatnot. And the gaffer was like, listen, it's going to be Andy Constantine's first cap tonight. And I'm standing there thinking, oh, wow. Like, I've been here like 2 days and I'm straight in. You know.
Who did he say that to Andy?
Steve
Clark say he said it on the TV?
No, we were in the team. We were like sort of huddled around him kind of thing, and he was just explaining information and whatnot. He says, like, the team is Andy Constantine, you're going to be playing left side.
Did you expect that at all?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, obviously Ryan Porteous, he was involved as well. So I thought, you know, he's been involved a few times. I thought he would play, you know. But I didn't expect to be, you know, put in straight away. So I'm standing there thinking, oh my goodness me. In about 6 hours' time, I'm going to be playing for Scotland, you know. So went through set plays and all that, and I felt that whole day and night, I just never got the chance to like just let
enjoy
it sink
it.
In. It was so quick. The whole thing was so quick. When I got down there on the Friday, straight into training. Training was intense. It was good. Like, I mean, you're.
Who stood out straight away in training, big man?
I was John Fleck was good. He was good in training. Yeah. There's a good few. Callum Patterson, he was good. The thing is, when you come away to internationals, as you'll know yourself, the standard just is that bit.
Yeah.
That big step up, you know. And we're doing 4v4s, and I tell you, the intensity was a joke. You know, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm absolutely blowing up my arse here. Obviously, I can't let him see that, but I'm blowing up my arse here, you know. So obviously, training Friday, Saturday, and then obviously getting told I'm playing. And obviously, I had my lunch, went up the room, you know, straight on the phone to the missus and the family. And I said, I'm playing, I'm starting tonight.
Was you crying again? She's some woman for the tears, isn't she?
And then obviously going to the game, and I think the fact that there was no fans going to be there, I think that was like, it probably didn't like register as much as it would.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're obviously you're walking out the tunnel, you know, and you've got an empty hand, and you kind of look at it, and it's strange.
Mm-hmm.
And you're singing the national anthem, you know, and it's amazing to do that, but you're expecting 50,000 to be singing along with you, you know, and then once the game goes, you forget what's around you, what the surroundings are, you know. And obviously the first thing you want to do is, well, goodness me, in the first 10 minutes I gave the ball away twice, and I'm thinking, off to God, here we go, Jesus.
Would you start hiding then, though?
No, to be fair, we like Slovakia kind of sat off us a little bit, so we had like plenty of the ball, yeah. You know, but I tried to play a few cute ones in the centre of the park. I think I tried to find John McGinn a couple of times and played it straight to them, thinking, oh dear, what am I doing? But I settled down, it was fine, and I think the biggest memory of it was just like, obviously, once Dixie had scored, and then the final whistle, and almost just like the relief, just being like, I've just played for Scotland. We've won the game, first and foremost, because like we knew, obviously, off the back of qualifying to get into the playoff final, the next two games were obviously huge, so we knew we had to win. And obviously clean sheet, and then just the joy was
you'll certainly get the crowds in the Euros what you deserve. Yeah. You know what I mean, that feeling that you maybe you missed out on, that's hopefully. It you'll get that in the Euros, I'm sure of that. But see, just after the game you went in the changing room, did Steve Clarke say it to you personally, or was it to
it was more when I it was came off the pitch, he shook my hand, he says, Daniel, I'm delighted for you, you know. Oh, yeah. Just delighted, and obviously delighted we've got the result, you know, first and foremost, but like I said, well done, and that was it. So no,
what a feeling that was.
No, it was incredible. And then obviously the music in the dressing room afterwards, there was no the boogie didn't come on.
Well,
no, no, no.
What was the music afterwards?
I think John McGinn had he was in charge of the music.
Just more John McGinn to his dance tunes.
Yeah, dance tunes. There was a few classics.
Who's who's the characters in the squad?
Andy Robertson's pretty loud. Big Decky's a bit of a joker as well. John McGinn, he's
MD, I know, you know.
No, I wouldn't say no. There's nobody that annoys me. No.
But you were the oldest David Dent.
I didn't know that.
Before the game, you knew it, yeah?
No, I didn't know that at all.
So when did you find out?
It wasn't until I'd come home after playing the two games that I'd found out that I was the oldest to play since 1967.
Yeah, 1967, that's right.
So, obviously that's great, but no, the main thing was that I'd managed to play both games and obviously win both in clean sheets, which obviously for a defender is high priority, you know. But it was a whirlwind of 5 days. It was amazing.
When you get home, were you just completely shattered for it all?
Did you have a few beers and that celebrate?
No, because we played Dundee United in a couple of days' time on the Saturday, but it was the next morning we got given our caps after the Czech Republic game, you know, and my two boys came running through and I put the caps on them and whatnot, took some photos of them and stuff like that. And like my eldest, he's six, Harry, he's six and loves his football, so he kind of knows what's kind of going on, yeah. You know, and see his eyes kind of light up, you know. It's priceless moments like that. It's amazing. So it was obviously, as I say, a whirlwind 5 days. But to get back to family and almost just let it settle in, yeah. You know, it was
good. Would you say you've had a long, long career? Would you say that's the best days of it?
I would say so. Yeah, Because I feel that like there's been plenty big moments in my career that, you know, that stand out, but I feel that, you know, I've waited so long for this moment. And
was that always your aim in your career, Andy, to get a Scotland cap?
Oh, of course, absolutely. Yeah. I think
like your biggest aim.
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, you want to play at the highest, you know, highest point in your career. You know, you want to play with the best players you can. You know, and you know, obviously been at Aberdeen a long, long time, played with some brilliant players, but I always just wanted, what if I could play for the national team?
I don't want you to throw you under the bus, but do you think you should have been called up more in your career? And I don't want to put you in a situation you don't want to answer, but do you think maybe you should have repeated the question again?
I'll be honest with you. See, earlier in my career, I don't think I was good enough at all. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't consistent enough. The older I've got, like, and the more consistent football I've played under, obviously, Dennis McInnes and whatnot, and I'd say probably maybe more the last couple of years when I have been kind of getting touted for it, I've kind of thought, you know, obviously disappointing. And when you see other guys in the squad getting in, you know, obviously Big Scotty, you know, goodness me, he deserved to be in. Big Mikey deserved to be in. You know,
who are they two? Sorry, Scotty and Mikey?
Scotty McKenna and Mikey Devlin.
Devlin, you know? Okay.
And,
Pardon? You're better than the two.
So, but, you know, it's like you see people around you, obviously two or three fantastic players, you know, and you're just, obviously it's natural to feel jealous. You're like, goodness me, I want to be a part of that. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously just delighted that I've managed to do it.
What's the difference in international football club? Because obviously you've played at a good level, Europe with Aberdeen and things like that, but in terms of Scotland, was it a lot more concentration needed?
I mean, the concentration was a massive thing. You know, when you're in the games, I feel that it's, you know, it is just that step up, that quality of player. You know, you're playing against Slovakia and the guy Hamsik's strolling about in the midfield, you know, and you think, goodness me, I've watched you play World Cups, European Championships and whatnot. I'm thinking, gee whiz. And then you go into Czech Republic and the wee boy Vidra up front, you know, plays in the Premiership, you know, and you think, goodness me, like rubbing shoulders with these guys, and you have to, your game has to be, you know, 100%. It can't be anything less.
Yeah. You know? Imagine you having to deal with that level of concentration. You kind of concentrate on that.
Kind of concentrate on that. My head's going around a million miles.
As well.
Is that your joking? Mate, I'm not joking. See, this shirt, I think it's going to pop.
I think it is.
It's so tight, mate.
It's a cracking suit, to be fair.
Think so?
Do you like that, Andy?
It's good, that, to be fair.
Is
that a Harris tweed or anything like that? No.
Did
you think it was Alex McLeish at first?
Honestly, every week he does. Simon, can you do the next bit, please?
The international break was a part it really started because the next games were the important ones.
Yeah.
After your performance, did you expect to get called up again?
I think the biggest thing for me was just give yourself that chance, that do well enough that you could have the chance of being called up again.
Yeah.
And I felt I'd given myself that chance. You know, two wins, two clean sheets.
Did Steve Clark give you any indication after the two games before you leave?
No, not really. And I suppose it probably helped that, you know, it was, goodness me, it was maybe 3.5 weeks and then we were joining up again. But obviously, you know, the next three games were going to be huge. But obviously I was over the moon to have been called up again.
Was it sleepless nights wondering if you would get called up again?
I think, for this one, because there's such a big gap between obviously November and here, you know, it was, the gaffer always kind of, I always felt like the gaffer, at Aberdeen, he knew everybody. He always knew everything, right? And like, I found out like for the second time, it was like 2 or 3 days before he'd know, he's like, Andy, you're going to be called up the squad, right? And obviously, manager wasn't there. So a couple of days before, I spoke to Paul Sheeran and said, you know, Paul, have you heard anything, you know? Just wondering, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, no, nothing. So went to Stephen Gunn. Stephen, you know, you heard anything? No. So went home, like, sitting speaking to the wife, thinking, you know, I just don't know. I just don't think I'm going to, you know, going to be called up this time. You know, he says, because you've had a taste of it, you want more, you know. And I was like, I will. I'll be absolutely devastated if I'm not in. But at the same time, I've always said to myself, if that was it, see if the first two games, I would have died a happy man. Seriously. Been over the moon. I've played for my country. 2 wins, 2 clean sheets, delighted. But as I say, because I've had the taste of it, I want more. So I was like, I'm devastated if I don't get it. And then it was the Monday morning of training. Got in, Frank Riley. Andy, you're in the squad. Brilliant. Just
relief.
unbelievable. Straight on the phone, Mrs. greeting again. it was brilliant. And obviously, you know, experience is something else. You're World Cup qualifier, so just over the moon to be involved.
He always makes his missus cry, but it's doing someone else that usually cries after.
Absolutely,
it.
Simon. And you kind of go into that big man.
I'm not sure it's for
us. Certainly not for the moment, but no. Certainly after Cameron, I'll tell you. Because it might be something you want to get in a bit.
Well.
But Andy, see, not at all. Listen, I don't want to get into all that. Andy, see, with the Boogie song, mm-hmm. Now, we've been singing it every single.
Singing it beautifully as well, you have
singing
been.
Singing it beautifully. Yeah. I know your mate said he sent you the links to the show. Did you? Were you aware we were singing that non-stop on behalf of you?
Yeah. Maybe not on behalf of me, but like I kind of knew there was a connection somewhere. And did you not get dressed up?
I've worn a wig and lipstick.
Were you happy? Were you angry at that?
No, not at all.
I thought it was poor, and I told you that at the time.
No, I've seen some things.
You still wanted to get off with us after it, though.
I didn't.
So what about when did the Scotland boys first jump on it?
Well, Ollie McBurney, he was the first one.
Been on Open Goal as well.
He threw it into the WhatsApp, the video.
So but when you first got added to the WhatsApp group, people did it?
It was within a couple of days. It was probably after my first game, once the dust had kind of settled, you know, the ice had been broken, and then it was like, boys, there you go. And I feel it's like, even when I'm a Aberdeen, if a new player comes in, you know, someone will be like, oh, have you seen Andy's video yet? You know, so it's going to take the thing to the grave. Like, it's going to be horrendous.
What did you write back to McBurney when he stuck that in the group?
Oh, I just had laughing faces. I mean, I just thought, it's a hole I've dug myself into. So yeah. It's like, there's not much I can do about it.
Do you
know?
Think that helps though, like, settle in somewhere?
But of course, it breaks the ice massively. So it was... And obviously, once the boys had seen it, you know, a few boys were, you know, yes, I can boogie about the, you know, training and things like that. So it was just...
You could see McBurney doing a video like that as well, couldn't you? McBurney's got that and he's
locked it. He's got the potential for
that. Yeah, 100%.
I always thought he would have been in that video. McBurney's got that type, isn't he?
He would do something like that. And then the country's biggest game in years.
Aye.
What was the feeling about the players building up to that game? Was it really tense?
Training leading up to it, I would say the boys were quite relaxed, if I'm honest with you. Yeah. Personally, me looking at the squad that we had, I thought we'd definitely more than enough to go and beat Serbia. And when it came to the game, I think sort of reality sets in, and I suppose you probably a good few nervous boys around, I can imagine. I think the stadium we were in was, you know, it was huge. It reminded me of Hamden because it was like, it was quite a bit back from the pitch, and you felt if this place was full, you know, what an atmosphere. But you know, once the game was going, I thought, tell you what, like the way Serbia started, I thought, God's me, tell you, we're gonna be all right here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think we created anything just that clear cut first half, but then once Ryan Christie scored,
You surprised by Serbia approached the game?
I thought they would dominate the boss.
Absolutely. I thought they were going to take the game to us. Yeah, absolutely. Strange, especially with the boy Mitrovic up front, which I thought, especially Big Decky, I thought he was outstanding against them. But the back three were brilliant. Decky, once Ryan Christie scored, I mean, we were up in the gods. All the subs and some of the staff, you know, looking down and... We just erupted. It was unbelievable. We thought, goodness me, unbelievable. We're gonna make the Euros. This is unbelievable, you know. And as the game went on, they sort of piled on the pressure last 10 minutes.
Were you ever told to warm up during that 90 minutes?
No. I just a general warm up. Yeah. But no, I was never. I was never close to getting on.
Right.
You just felt, you know, just hold on, you know, because there wasn't really a lot in the game. And then obviously that corner came and they scored, and you just thought, I mean, it couldn't have been 2 minutes left, a minute left, something like that. So you just kind of thought, oh, here we go, extra time, you know. But then you thought, goodness me, went to extra time against Israel, you know, we did it. If it goes to penalties, more than confident enough. Yeah.
The thought I was going to put was when they scored, it was almost, I mean, a lot of the comments were saying, same old Scotland. Mm. That was the feeling that people got. But for you today, what you've done is just absolutely exceptional, wasn't it? Was your Mrs. greeting?
I've started something here, and she's going to kill me. She's going to absolutely kill me.
No, but was she greeting when she seen Ollie McBurnie coming on. Shocking.
Yeah, that's
listen,
you.
He's your pal. He's your pal. No, listen,
he's
excellent. What a player. No, Simon, on you go, sir.
So when that last goal, the goal was in the last minute, what was the feeling on the bench?
I think...
devastation?
I just think you felt like I couldn't see them scoring.
Yeah.
You could, they had maybe a couple of flashes, and David Marshall had a few saves, but you felt pretty comfortable throughout the game, and obviously the one set piece, but that happens in football. You think, right, going into, I suppose it's like picking yourself up for extra time after obviously a late goal. It's not easy, but the boys did well. Again, not much in extra time, but obviously went to penalties. And
was it Robbo that spoke before extra time, or was that before penalties? Did Andy Robertson speak to the boys? Was it Steve Clark?
I think it was more the gaffer that spoke.
Can you remember what he said?
I think he just said, listen, I'm trying to remember. Probably more, much more than such, just along the lines, listen, just however you normally take a penalty, just, you know, just go with that side. Don't change your mind as you're sort of walking up to take the kick, you know. But if you look at the five boys who took the penalties, you know, guys who score goals for fun.
Yeah,
you know, so you think, we're not going to lose this.
Had they practiced penalties in training, five guys? Yeah, was it always the five guys?
We'd all done it. We'd all take penalties. So obviously we're all down at the touchline, you know, all huddled together kind of thing, you know, watching it happen. You just felt David got close to a few, you know, and you just thought, I think he's gonna save one. And goodness me, it was a proper fairy tale. You just thought, the last penalty, there you go. And
Mitrovic, it was
unbelievable
to
him as well.
And
he'd missed a few in the Premier League that year as well.
I didn't think he would have missed. Film.
No. So I mean, obviously, it's more like once he saves it, and then he's up, and then we're kind of waiting.
What was he thinking, asking that? I couldn't believe when he was asking.
He was like, obviously, just in case he'd come off the line or whatnot, it was going to get retaken. And then, I mean, we were on our way. As soon as he saved it, we were on our way.
Who were you standing next to? I
think it was, Stephen O'Donnell, I think, was next to me. And Big Scotty was the other side. And we just went, right? So we're sprinting, right? And you just, obviously, staff, players, straight over. And you just see this figure just kind of stop immediately and like kind of drop off. So you turn around, John Carver, he's pulled his calf.
Honestly,
as if there was a guy in the crowd, Stiper, boom, straight in the calf. And he was in crutches for the rest of the trip. Honestly, the guy, he couldn't move. It was a shame. Like it was bad. But the scenes were, you know, it was so, I mean, obviously you'd see the emotion in the boys' faces.
Yeah.
I mean, so much emotion, so much heart over the years, and I felt we've always wanted to reach such a big tournament like this, you know, and to go about it the way we did, you know, it's regardless, we're in the Euros, you know.
The last one was obviously France 98. Do you remember watching it?
Absolutely, yeah.
I remember that. Did you watch it?
I was too young, Simon.
Oh, were you?
Very, very young.
How old are you?
28.
40 years.
28. A little bit shocked there.
But so, would you just watch it with your dad and that in Aberdeen?
Just at home, yeah. Just in Bankery.
Because Leighton was a keeper, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Big Jim. What a legend, honestly. So lucky to... He was obviously goalkeeper coach
at Aberdeen
for a long time when I was a young boy coming through, you know, and what a guy.
Did he talk about France 98 to you?
Not really, no. Oh. But, no, like, I mean... The amount of caps and experiences he's had as a man, it's incredible, you know.
Who else were your other Scotland heroes growing up? Stuart McKimmy.
No, I mean, I never saw Stuart McKimmy play for Scotland, if I'm honest with you.
Right back for Aberdeen, isn't he? Stuart McKimmy, a legend, mate.
Scotland, aye. He must have 50-odd caps for Scotland.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he? 60, maybe.
So centre-backs, who'd have been the big... Oh, Colin Hendry must have been there.
Aye, I mean... Yes, well...
Nah.
No. To be honest with you, like, the only... Just because of the Aberdeen connection, it would just been Big Jim, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, and... I've always said, you know, one of my idols coming through as an Aberdeen player was Big Russell Anderson, you know, and watching him play for Scotland, you know, was amazing as well. So
that's your favourite, isn't it?
And Big Russell, a good guy.
Big Rusty, what a brilliant guy. Yeah. Really nice guy.
But so was he your hero, Russell Anderson? Did you play centre half for him at Aberdeen?
I did,
as well?
Yeah. I was lucky enough to have the chance. I did play with him for a couple of years before he went to Sunderland. And you know, he taught me a lot as a young player. So no, very lucky to have played alongside him, and obviously great to, he obviously came back later in his career as well. And,
yeah.
You know, he
won the Cup with Aberdeen as well, didn't he, when he came back?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. He deserved that trophy, you know, for the obviously such a great long career, and obviously the service that he's given to Aberdeen as well, you know, he deserved that.
See, what I have to say about when he's in the changing room, who played Aiken Boogie? Was it Tierney?
Aye, it was Tierney, yeah. We're walking up the tunnel and getting into the dressing room, and everybody's, you know, the beers are out, bouncing about, champagnes all over the shop.
Oh, was it champagne?
It was messy, and I was kind of, I'd sat down, there's pizza one, I was sitting eating a bit of pizza, and you could just hear the music sort of building up, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself, right, like, well, obviously we've qualified for the Euros, you know, I've only really been involved for, goodness me, 1.5 camps.
Who cares though? Like, getting amongst that.
Okay, once the chorus comes on, should I get up,
make this all
and
about me,
bounce around like the rest of them? I'm thinking, goodness me, I'm a 33-year-old man, should I be doing this? So, and then once, obviously, it's playing, you know, we're kind of like, things have sort of calmed down, and it's playing up to the chorus and stuff, and then, like, they just turned the volume straight up as the Boogie, and I was like, you know, fuck it, dropped everything, straight in, bouncing
around.
Big
man.
Honestly, what a laugh. It was so good.
Was everyone so involved? Like, was the manager singing it?
He might have been. He wasn't bouncing about in the huddle, to be fair. But what a night that was! Incredible.
Unbelievable.
When he's aware, like, how full scale it was back home, that how mad that video went.
I think probably afterwards, probably the day after, if I'm honest with you. Yeah. And then obviously the Davy Marshall one as well. You know, I mean, that took off as well. So.
Was that in the hotel you were singing?
That was in the hotel.
Was that amazing in the hotel?
That was so good. I think I was in my bed with maybe back of 5, but I mean, it continued to maybe 7 in the morning kind of thing, It was, but I mean, obviously staff were all there. It was all contained within one room. What a laugh. It was so good. I mean, I think Kieran Tierney, he was a night producing the music and whatnot, so there was plenty old school sort of techno tunes and whatnot, and it was
did Boogie get played again?
Boogie
back
got played, I reckon, at least half a dozen times it got played,
and everyone up again.
It was brilliant, up in the tables, up in the chairs, and then Davy Marshall's got played, and then we're in the conga. It was outstanding.
And then when you came home, you were the national hero. How did the family actually nervous when you walked in?
But do you know what, one of my uncles, he's absolutely devastated this video ever got out. You see, like, the actual...
Right. Okay.
Is
he in it?
He's in it, one of my uncles, and he's obviously quite a, you know, proud guy, you know, just... he's had a really good career and whatnot in property and things like that, you know, and he's absolutely devastated. He's caught in shirt in his boxers, you know, in this video. You know, and I mean, both my uncles, I mean, honestly... My other uncle, he was topless with his boxers on. My dad is in his boxers. And you think, oh my God, like, what's going on here?
This is just what about your other pals? Do they get quite
absolutely.
A lot?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's always talked about quite a lot in, you know, in our WhatsApp and whatnot. And it's memories, you know, fantastic memories. So what a laugh.
Is it true Craig Brown's raging that he wasn't in the video? He's want a remake, isn't he, Craig Brown? Oh, brilliant. How much are you relish in the prospect potentially going to the Euros with Scotland?
I can...
You're there, aren't you? You're on the plane, big man.
Big man.
You've seen your ticket, you're there.
Steve Platt, we heard him saying it.
I can only hope. As I say, like, the main aim is once you get into camp is that if you're called upon to play, that you do well enough that you can be called up to... Hopefully the Euro squad. I mean, obviously that's, you know, it's going to be the. I mean, goodness me, we've got a really strong squad. You can see that. But it's going to be tough to get in there. If I'm honest with you,
it will be tough. Standard training, ridiculous.
Very good. It is very good. You know, and you need to be. You know, you need to be 100% in training, and obviously in games as well. And it's obviously a huge occasion for.
I've always thought. We international training, is it proper training these days, or is it
sort of
like shape type stuff?
Quite a lot of shape.
Is it actual sessions?
Proper sessions. Yeah.
Is he a good coach, Steve Clark?
Yeah, him, Stephen Reid. him and John Carver take majority of training.
Right.
No, it's intense. It's good.
Is it?
No, good training.
What are we possessions we get small games?
Yeah. No, it's
again,
good.
Anyone else? Is there anyone else that stands out on a regular basis? I know you said John Fleck at the start, but I love Stuart Armstrong. Eh?
He's good. He's good. Armstrong. He just makes it look so easy.
Yeah. Gorgeous as well, isn't he?
he's a good looking guy, to be fair to him. You know, Ryan Christie, I mean, he's obviously played with him at Aberdeen. He's come on leaps and bounds from when he was at Aberdeen. But what a player he is. I'll be honest, like, they're all great. I mean, Kenny McLean's outstanding as well.
Was there any player, Andy, that you were actually a wee bit surprised with how good they were? See certain players you get like that? Oh, my God, he's unbelievable, that guy.
I think people would be surprised. He just said Kenny McLean. I think people would be surprised how good a player Kenny McLean is. Just because he's Norwich Championship, you wouldn't think, but I haven't played against him, even when he was at St Mirren, I thought he was a right good player, Kenny McLean.
Kenny's definitely underrated at Aberdeen, you know, for the job he did. Then he's gone on to have a brilliant career, you know, and probably going to end up playing the Premiership next season as well, you know.
That's another wee wage rise for him as well, isn't it? I don't know, right?
The Euros, I can't wait. England in the group. I mean, we'll take them.
Yeah.
Can only hope we've got fans. We have fans for that.
What's it like singing the national anthem? Do you belt it out? What do you enjoy singing more, national anthem?
Or Boogie.
Did you want that to be the national anthem?
Pardon?
Eigen Boogie.
I'm sure I've seen you doing that in the national anthem.
Up that camera. To be fair, I can't remember who it was who came up to me and says, listen, if you ever score at Hampden, we'll play the Boogie song. I says, you're taking the piss.
So you're desperate not to score.
You're surely taking the piss. Honestly, probably the highlight of my career, if I go and score for Scotland, you're playing my blooming stag do video song. You know what I mean?
Amazing. What
chance you got?
Not only Scotland hero, mate, but obviously Aberdeen legend. 17 years been in the first team. Wow.
It's 17 years is a long time. A long time.
So what was your debut? What age were you on the debut?
I just turned 17.
Were you a big Aberdeen fan, Andy?
Through my dad played for Aberdeen under Fergie for two years.
Did he?
Won the league with Aberdeen as well.
No, probably should have done our research on that. Slightly.
What did he say about Fergie? 80. Sorry,
pardon.
Has he told you any Fergie stories?
Not really. Just he was obviously a brilliant manager, but he was, you know, tough but fair.
Sorry, a terrible question from you there. Shocking. Awful.
No, it was absolutely, you know, what a legend of a guy. Do you know what he did for Aberdeen Football Club? Will always go down in history. I mean,
so would you go and watch your dad playing for Aberdeen under Fergie?
No, I'm not that old.
Right, okay.
No, I've seen to be fair, goodness me, trying to get videos of watching my dad play, but it's tough to find. But my dad's got a league winner's medal, you know, which is
incredible,
amazing.
You
know, so, got a league winner's medal?
Aye, they won the league in 79-80. Yes, I think it was 79-80.
Wow.
I better get that right. Shit. 79-80, I'm sure it was. So, I know he played pretty much majority of the season, they won the league that year.
And what about Bayern Munich tie? Did you play that game?
Played both.
Did you?
Home tie was amazing. You know,
was it?
Pataudry Under the Lights is an amazing sight. It really is. Full house.
Josh Walker scored, didn't he?
Josh Walker and Sonia Luko.
That's right.
I mean, goodness me, even going 1-1, then 2-1, you think, gee whiz, what's going on here? We're beating Bayern Munich.
Who was in the Bayern Munich team?
Demichelis, he was playing centre-half. You had Schweinsteiger, you had Van Bommel, you had Klose, you had Luca Toni, Philip Lahm, he came on at half-time.
Oh, what a team that is.
Well, the thing is, they came, I think, thinking, you know, we're going to... you know, swipe Aberdeen aside first leg, and obviously once we go back to Allianz, we'll be fine. Obviously, they got a penalty in the last maybe 15-20 minutes. I don't think it was a penalty. But anyway, drawing 2-2 with Bayern Munich. You know, I was even surprised they were in the Europa League.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that was incredible. And then obviously the away tie was unbelievable. What a stadium. Have you ever
seen
Allianz? No, it's
the
Allianz Arena. Outstanding. And I think, well, obviously we got beat 5-1. We kind of got our arses felt that night. But probably shouldn't say this, but like one of the highlights of the night was they had a huge, huge bath, honestly, about half the size of this room, boys were just doing cannonballs and stuff into after the game. You know, running.
You're not expected to beat Bayern Munich.
You know, I mean, obviously Jimmy Calder was raging after the game. You know, losing 5-1, but which, understandably,
he started the bombing.
You've got like Lee Miller and whatnot. These kind of guys, you know, just always a laugh and a joke, and it didn't take long for everybody to start doing bombs into this booming pool.
Amazing.
Was that your favourite game?
My favourite game.
You've been so close to winning so many.
The Scottish Cup was always going to haunt me. It was my favourite game up to the point I blooming let Rogic score that last minute bloody winner. I hate that.
Does that hate that? Yeah,
he beat me down the line, put it Joe's near post.
To be fair, you're showing Rogic onto his right foot, aren't you? You didn't want him coming on his
left. No, I know, but I still should have done better. It's one thing I'll always hate. But anyway,
is that the one game where you thought we were going to beat Celtic? Here?
Absolutely. You see, obviously, we always speak about it. It's like Johnny's cross for Kenny.
Yeah.
See, or Kenny's cross for Johnny. No, it was Johnny's cross for Kenny, and it was just behind him. And you thought it was an open goal as well. And you just thought, if that had gone in, I think we would have probably been able to hold on, you know. But I mean, they were some force, Celtic, at that point. But I felt that was one chance of glory, you know. But my favourite game, Aberdeen, just for the sheer emotion and enjoyment. You may think this is, we played Motherwell in the League Cup quarterfinal leading up to winning the cup. I'd broken my leg thanks to Deke. Season before, right? And I was out for 9 months, and the physio at the time, John Sharp, did a lot of rehab with him, and he had me down Balmeddy Beach running up and down sand dunes, most disgusting thing I've ever done. I don't know if you've ever done it before, but horrific. And you know, all the hard work of getting back, and I couldn't get myself back in the team at all. I wasn't sure actually if the gaffer was even having me, so I thought that this is maybe my time up as well. And I was on the bench for the Motherwell game, and Joe Shaughnessy got sent off after 15 minutes. He'd hit some guy knee high, and you're thinking, oh God, here we go. And he shuffled the pack, put me on. So I was right.
Right wing.
I was right. I think I was right side. I was right side centre half or something. And it was last 10 minutes of the game, and we'd backs to the wall majority of the game, if I'm honest with you. And it was a corner, and I've gone up, boom, header. Celebrating with the fans, and it was almost just like that whole 9 months, the pain and like the rehab and the effort to get yourself back in, it was like it's all worth it, worth it. And I just felt I've always felt it's that like a little piece of the puzzle just for us getting there, you know, winning the cup, you know. So I've always said, I've said in many interviews, I always felt that's like been my one game, just for what it meant to me.
You had favourite managers at Aberdeen? Steve Patterson was a character, wasn't he?
I didn't really. I was with Neil Cooper with the young lads at this point.
He was hero, Neil Cooper, wasn't he?
He was a brilliant Neil Cooper, an absolute legend. But I didn't see much of Steve Patterson. It was more sort of Jimmy Calderwood. I was kind of more involved with. I had some great times under Jimmy. I think obviously. To thank Steve Patterson for giving my debut, goodness me, against Dundee. But, you know, with Jimmy Calderwood, he put trust in me, and he played me as a young lad quite a lot, you know, for the 6 years he was there. Obviously, I had the great times with Europe. I mean, obviously back then it was just one playoff game, beat Dnipro. I mean, what an occasion that was. And then obviously getting into the last 32. I mean, that was against all odds, if I'm honest. We got through with 4 points. You know, we'd beaten Copenhagen, drew with Lokomotiv Moscow, and we lost to Atletico Madrid. So we'd got through, I think we were third in the group, we'd got through somehow in 4 points, but to obviously go and play Bayern Munich in the last 32, that was amazing. So those experiences were great. But yeah, to be honest with you, my favourite manager, I mean, I have a lot of respect for every single one, because they've all taught me something different. And now that I'm going to the coaching side, I can take like good and bad points from every one of them. You know,
the coaching side, aye.
In the middle of doing my A-license at the minute. So, if I'm honest, you know, my favourite would be, you know, ex-manager at the moment. You know, Derek and Tony, because I've probably played 95% maybe potentially more of the games under them, you know, and we've had some amazing European games, some obviously winning the League Cup. But, you know, as I say, he put a lot of trust in me. Wasn't overly thankful of him playing my left back for majority of it. I had put it up against.
Graveyard shift.
Do you know enjoy
that? Brutal.
Do you enjoy that?
Oh, honestly, it was horrendous. the first couple of seasons. I mean, obviously, I'm used to playing.
Shinny used to play there as well, didn't he?
Well, the thing is, see, obviously, once they bought Shinny, I kind of thought this is my time up anyway, you know. But it was the first game we were in Macedonia, playing a European game, and played Shinny in the centre midfield. I'm saying, here we go again. So it's absolutely roasting hot, you know, up and down the line, left back, thinking, Jesus, here we go, another season of this. But to be fair, at the same time, I won two Player of the Year awards within like Aberdeen for playing left back, you know, so must have done a reasonable job. But still, at the same time, it was a tough shift. It's just from converting to playing centre half to left back, it's a completely different ballgame. Yeah.
Would you ever say to the manager that you're not happy playing there, or just happy that you're playing?
I think there was one time the whole 8 years he was there, I said, and he was like, well, don't play then. And I'm kind of thinking, nah, that's a bit silly. I'm not going to play, you know.
No, the scariest guy you must have played under, he was with Scotland as well, Archie Knox.
Aye, Archie was, when he was at Aberdeen, obviously with Craig Brown, you know, and they steadied the ship for us, to be fair, because we didn't have a great season beforehand. So they came in and sort of steadied the ship. Well, I think we finished ninth both seasons anyway, but no, Archie still had plenty of fire in the belly.
Did you ever get it off him?
A few times, but the one that kind of sticks in my mind was we played Hearts away. I think we got beat, and it was Ricky Foster and Archie going at each other. And obviously, it doesn't take a lot for Fozzie to kind of go, because Fozzie is a kind of short fuse as it is. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. But the old Hearts dressing room, it's pretty tight coming up the tunnel. You take a left through the showers, and you know, it's pretty tight, and you can hear Archie just going at Fozzie and whatnot. And thank goodness there was a treatment table in the middle, you know, and they're still going at each other. So Fozzie sits down and Archie sits down. Secondly, Archie's back up, you know, Fozzie, this, that, and the next thing. And Fozzie's like, I've had enough. So he's trying to go for him, right? So somebody's, I can't remember who got up, grabbed Fozzie, and Archie just comes literally almost pretty much straight over the treatment table. You know, I'm thinking, goodness me, you're a fair age. Like, actually, you know, what's going on here? You know, but as I say, plenty of fire in the belly kind of thing, you know, but, you know, massive respect for the pair of them, you know, Craig and Archie. But the one thing, I don't know if this has been said potentially on the show before, but the one thing that used to kind of crack me up was Archie would come in, it was more often than not in a home game, right? So Craig would be speaking and he would go and get a shower, you know, and so he's, you know, the gaffer's giving us talking to us, and so he's gone for a shower, you know, towel on, through us, you know, and we're thinking, what's going on here? Goes for a shower, comes back, right? So he's in the corner. You would always, like, when you come in Aberdeen dressing room, there used to be wooden seats, and he was always in that corner, you know, and he would start getting changed, you see, so, you know, the gaffer's still speaking, and by this point, Archie starts chirping up, you know, and he's you know, saying this, that, and next thing to whoever. So he's got... He's getting the shirt on, doing the tie. He's got his shoes, doing his shoes, socks on, right? And he's still, by this point, he's still got no pants on, right? So he's like, by this time, he's on the edge of the bench, you know, starting going at somebody, you know? And so if he's coming at you, you're trying to look at him, you're thinking, I don't know where to look. You see, you know, and you think, honestly, like, a lot of times you just couldn't believe what you were seeing, you know, but what, you know, the pair of them, incredible people, you know, and again, just the things I learned from them, and no, it was good times.
Was he international level?
I'm obviously, why the managers do that?
I know it's meant.
If I go, you when they're getting changed, it's so hard.
It was the first time I've ever seen it. If I'm honest with you, it was the first time I'd ever seen it. I think so. Like, majority of the boys were just like, he's giving me a bollocking.
That's amazing, isn't it?
You know,
literally giving us a ball.
You know, and it's just, you just couldn't believe what you're seeing. But
Andy, who's the biggest characters you've played in your career?
There's been a few. First one, probably when I was coming through, with Ryan Essien, a goalie.
Oh, Essien's brilliant. I done my B license with Essien. What a guy!
What a laugh! Yeah. Really nice guy. He took me under his wing, to be fair, when I was younger. A mad goalie. Mm. I find that kind of you'll maybe find that in football, goalies are just a bit different.
Yeah.
Big Joe's like that as well. He's a funny guy. I mean, there's times, honestly, you might kill me for saying this, but he'd stand and speak to you in the dressing room, like he'd stand, he'd come up to speak to you, he's got his sloggies on and that, he's speaking to you, just having a normal conversation, right? And you see like piss start coming down his leg, you know? And you think, Joe, what are you doing? Why? He's standing peeing himself as he's speaking to you. And he just walks off to the shower and you're looking at, there's a puddle of piss out like right next to you where you're getting changed. And you're just like, for goodness sake. But it's things like that, like you see in football and dressing rooms, obviously you would never get away with in general life once you leave that door, you know, but.
That story that somebody told us about the pies is unbelievable. Remember it was at Burn? Where's Burn?
Is that right?
The chocolates.
Oh my God,
was it Shinny had said it?
Shinny said it, huh?
I think Kenny had got these box of chocolates from his agent or whatnot, something like that. And he had a woman that was walking his dog, I think, when him and the missus couldn't walk to the dog out there. And it was Wes Burns, sorry.
That's it, Wes Burns.
Yes, his dog was getting walked by this woman. And he was like, you know, what will I get this woman for? It was for Christmas or whatnot, just as a thank you. Because he was leaving in the January window. So Kenny was like, oh, you know, here's this box of chocolates I got from my agent. I don't want them. Go and give them to her. Brilliant, delighted. So we'd gone to training, come back. The chocolates were replaced by a couple of balls of shite, right? Right, so obviously Wes had no clue, right? So I don't know who, I still don't to this day, I don't know who it was that did it, but obviously, I mean, the accuracy, to be fair, as well, is pretty incredible. So the chocolates were out, poo in there, so back in the box, back into Wes's place, and he took it and gave it to the woman.
Oh. But then you told somebody tell him on the bus, and you had to phone the woman and say, don't eat the chocolates.
I mean, honestly, I mean, the smell of that box.
Incredible. Anyone else, players-wise?
Josh McGuinness, he was another one, to be fair. He was lively. Another guy that I've seen do things that you think, oh my God. Do you know, it's one of those, it's like, you look at them and you think, what's going through your head at this point when you're doing stuff? You know, what makes you think that's okay? You know, like,
I'd love to have seen that woman's face.
Oh, amazing, eh?
You know,
I think he said that she's seen the funny side of it.
I can only hope.
What about guys like Johnny Hayes? Not good laugh, Johnny.
I'm sure it was him that Danny Rogers had gone on loan to Falkirk, and he had a new pair of gloves sent to the club, and Johnny opened them, shit in one of his gloves, put it back in, and got it shipped down to Falkirk. I mean, honestly, what chance have you got? Oh my God! Johnny's known for being a boy.
What about best players? Best players that you played up there? There's been some crackers, isn't there?
I mean, I would always start with Russell Anderson. Your Kevin McNaughton's, you know, gone on to have really good careers.
Kevin McNaughton, what a guy! Grew up with Kev.
Stevie Lovell when he was with us as well. I mean, striker, what player he was. You know, even Dan Mackay in his heyday. Like, he doesn't get a lot of credit, but I tell you what, he was rapid. He scored a fair amount of goals, and he'll always be remembered for that goal in Dnipro, obviously, to get us into the Euros, the Europa League.
Do you play with Duncan Shearer?
No, not at all. No.
Shinny was good at Aberdeen, wasn't he? I liked Shinny at Aberdeen.
Shinza was outstanding. He was like, he epitomised like that sort of midfield role. He covered every blade of grass. He snapped into challenges, scored a fair amount of goals as well, to be fair, but, you know, lovely guy. Was really sad to see him go. I was devastated that he got signed, because I thought that was going to be the end of me, but like, a lovely guy. But you know, we were sad to see him go, because he was, you know, he was a real workhorse, a real force for us in the midfield.
Yeah.
And who's the best? This is one I be personal. Who's the hardest player you've come up against?
It would be Miroslav Klose, when we played Bayern Munich. He played the home game. Podolski played the second one. You know, and he was. I've never seen anyone shift over 5 yards so quick. He was unbelievable. He was so strong as well. But just like the simple thing, you know, his touch, his one-touch layoffs, kind of things like that. He was just...
What about in Scotland?
In Scotland? I've come up against Aidan McGeady a few times, and that wasn't a lot of fun.
Hard work, mate, isn't it?
That wasn't a lot of fun at all. He was a joke. Do you know what there's probably too many to say, if I'm honest with you. I mean, I'm trying to think even more players at Aberdeen that, I mean, Kenny was outstanding. You know, Sonny Aluko on his day was unbelievable. Player, when he went to Rangers, he was a joke.
Yeah. Fulham as well, wasn't it? Was it?
Yes.
Fulham? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Rooney? Goal scorer.
I mean, Runes was
worst
a joke.
Worst touch in football, but a goal scorer.
Do you know what? One of the best in my career that I've seen, penalty box goal scorers. Yeah. Outstanding. Oh, unbelievable.
Good lad as well.
Oh, really, really good guy. Really good guy. Yeah. But no, even seeing Big Scotty come through, I mean, that's great to see. You know, a young lad from
McKenna.
Aberdeen. Aye, Big Scotty McKenna, you know.
Did you kind of take him under your wing when he first came through?
I mean, me and Scotty, we played together quite a bit in the first team as well. And yeah, I mean, I tried to look after him. I mean, he's quite a quiet boy, but no, he's done very well. And, you know, I think he's going to go on to have an amazing Scotland career as well as, obviously, with Nottingham Forest and whatnot. And so, but there's been plenty, you know, there's been loads of Aberdeen players I've played with who are brilliant.
A big few months ahead of you, Andy. Make sure you get in the Steve Clark squad. Important that you play well for Aberdeen for now until on.
Absolutely. You know, I think that we've got, it's a huge 5 games for us coming up. And obviously,
we'll still get third?
I hope so. I mean, a lot can happen within the 5 games, but I feel we're going to have to take something off the Old Firm, which is going to be tough. But if we need to do it the hard way, I feel like Aberdeen sometimes kind of do it that way. So I can only hope so. But at the same time, goodness me, I would love to go and win a Scottish Cup. You know, I don't have a Scottish Cup. I'd love that. So if we have to do it that way, brilliant.
Mm. So. And there's a place for the big man on the boogie bus, isn't there?
Absolutely, big man. We want you there. And I would love to get a Constantine, I don't know if you've got one where you're a Constantine strip. We'd love that to be able to go
with me. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Andy, you're a hero. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
What a guy.